like Jesus on a day long to be like him all through life's journey from earth to glory high on the earth to be like him from Bethlehem's manger came for the stranger on earth I long to be like him my faithful Savior I'll reach his to be like him, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him. Oh,
to be like him.
Amen. The Lord bless you this morning, saints. Blessed be the name of the Lord who's given us a new week this morning. There are many we started with last week. They are not here. But none of us is missing yet this morning. So we want to thank God for that. I would like to ask if we could turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. For a Sunday school reading, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and I shall finish this topic today, Brother Max or Brother Ellie. So, Brother, if I keep going, I won't stop. The people will go weary of hearing the same thing. So, I would like to read from verse number 20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you love us, Lord. Father, we never can comprehend fully the love that you have for us. Lord, all we can say is thank you for loving us, for giving us these scriptures to guide us, to mold us, to show us the way, to prepare us, Lord, for the enemy when he comes in like a flood. Lord, help us this morning, even as we look into the Sunday school lesson, that, Father, we may learn something of thine apostle, and that, Lord, we may use it in our lives, Lord, to guard against the enemy. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 May God bless you again, saints. You may take your seats. I would like, in earnest, to finish this topic today because I keep seeing a lot more things, you know. So I think by God's grace, if he allows us, we can do it again some other time. But I suppose that it would be good for the saints to hear something else from someone else for Sunday school. So we just read in the book of 1 Timothy there, chapter 5, and Paul is again writing this letter to Timothy. And when we began this, I explained that a letter is somewhere where you pour yourself out and really show who you are to a person because you are writing something that is from your heart, you know. And it's like if I took your phone and read your chat with another person, I don't think anybody would like that because it really shows who you are when you are writing in correspondence to someone. So Paul was writing this letter to Timothy, teaching him certain things, and these things were the very essence of who Paul was, what he stood for. And we found out that many of the things that he wrote, in fact, everything that Paul wrote, you can go back from the book of Acts all the way to the last epistle that he wrote and find in examples of where Paul used those things. And that's why I'm saying we can't keep going on now, because there will be no stop to it. But I thought that we would finish at this point here, where Paul is speaking to Timothy in chapter 5, verse 20. And he says, rebuke them before all that sin. And what really captured me was verse number 21. Now, verse 21 is not only referring to verse 20. It's referring to a lot of the other things that he had written in especially chapter 5. And he says, I charge you before God. Never has an instruction come with great emphasis, where Paul is saying, I'm charging you, Timothy, before God. And he goes beyond that, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. So this instruction was no light instruction. It was a very, very important instruction, to the point that Paul has to say, I charge you before God. And he says that you observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So we want to look at this, especially verse 20, where he says, rebuke them that sin before all. These are people that knew to do right, but they just continued on to plod in sin regardless of how much it was preached. They still carried on like that. And Paul is telling Timothy that you need to rebuke some of these things before all, because some of these things, you know, a make-believer will never believe. They'll just be a make-believer, you know. But a make-believer can never stand correction, especially when it is done in public. They get up there and walk out. And so some of it is very important that we do these things. Because the prophet said, I preached what Paul preached. And you will see, if you go and listen to the message, Why Little Bethlehem, the prophet speaks there and he speaks about the women cutting their hair, you know. And he was rebuking them before all. And he says, I've gone up and down in America preaching this, and every year I come back, there's more of them, you know. But it has a certain effect of cleaning the trash out, you know. I don't want to call anybody trash, but there's no better word I can use this morning. And so everybody could look in the congregation and see, oh, these sisters have cut their hair, you know. That one has done this and that. And the prophet would say, you women, you keep doing that. He was rebuking them right there in the church. And if you listen to some of the people who know what was happening in the background, some of these women would actually stand up and walk out while the prophet was preaching. But it was important. You can see the prophet did this as well, because Paul charged Timothy to do these things. But sometimes, you know, we are a little bit too diplomatic. And it's a dangerous thing, because the moment you begin to tolerate something, no matter how small it is, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Never underestimate how much tolerating something that's wrong can lead you astray completely. In the examples that I have, we will see in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, Paul referring to the Galatians and saying, oh, foolish Galatians. Imagine receiving a letter from the prophet. If we had the privilege of living in the day that he lived, and he had passed by here, preached to the saints, established the church, ordained elders, and go somewhere, and then he writes us a letter. The letter to the Galatians was not addressed to the minister of Galatia. It was an epistle that was to be read in the church. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous today because I have much to cover, but the time is not enough, you know. And it was read right in front of the whole church. And Paul was rebuking them openly to say, you foolish Galatians, Who has hindered you? Could you put, please, that verse for me? Galatians chapter 3, from verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Because certain brethren had come in and began to draw people away from grace again and point them towards works. And Paul had to rebuke them to say, you foolish Galatians, why are you listening now to other people who are bringing to you something that we did not preach to you in the beginning? It has a very big corrupting path, like Brother Maxwell said on Friday. You can put a kink by tolerating things that are not right. Just a little bit of tolerating something that's not right, you are looking back, yeah? You're holding the plow and you look back and you put a kink in your path. After plowing down the road, then we see, the line is not straight. Why? Because you tolerated something at the back that you were not supposed to tolerate. So these examples are good because they teach us how to apply this scripture. This scripture doesn't apply to every situation. You know, you see a brother do wrong and you can't wait to come to church and rebuke him openly. I mean, there are certain situations where this scripture applies. You know, a little quiet word goes a long way. You know, you get a brother on the side, brother. Like me, you know, a sister called me on the side when I was a younger believer. Brother, do you suppose it's right for you to wear shorts, you know? Very quiet word. Now I say it openly because it blessed me. And I stopped wearing shorts because a brother shouldn't be doing that, you know? And so a little quiet word on the side can go a long way in correcting a brother nicely. But when somebody continues to plod in sin and you say it after every now and again to tell them this, that, and that, and they won't listen, well, the time has to come where you come and rebuke them here openly. And this wasn't a fringe doctrine with Paul. You know, one of those little things that you can find one caught there and then it's not found anywhere else. No, if you go and read the books that were written by Paul, you'll find that this was a very important thing. We just gave one example there where he speaks to the Galatians, the whole church, and he said, you foolish people, who has hindered you? But if you go again in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you'll find an example there that I would like to read for you so we can see how Paul used this. Do you have it? 2 Thessalonians 3. I would like to have verse number 6. Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself, from every brother that walks disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. So this is being written to a church in Thessalonica, and he's saying, we command you. There's no wiggle room there where you can say, well, Paul left me a little bit of room to wiggle out of this one. But he's giving a commandment that you withdraw yourself from any brother that walks disorderly, not from the custom that he has received from us. Let's go, sister. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. So when a person is walking disorderly, there's a way that has been taught, this is how we do things here. You make a mistake, you know, the deacons will give you a quiet word. You know, and then you make another mistake, you know, maybe they come two deacons this time. You know? Then you are not changing. Now you get the whole panel of deacons, four of them around you after church, trying to talk to you. But if you don't, and you continue walking disorderly like that, Paul is commanding that you ought to follow us. We behaved ourselves orderly among you, but if someone is walking disorderly according to the message, you must withdraw yourself from such a person. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So this was a commandment Paul gave to the believers. Yeah, when they were together, say, let's go and work, brethren. You remember they used to live together and share all things. And he said, everybody must work. But there were some people that just didn't want to work, you know. And he says, if you are not going to work, then you are not going to eat. Now, let's go to the next verse. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. So this was not just a general commandment being given to the saints in Thessalonica. There were people in the church that were refusing to work, but they wanted to eat. And we can apply that spiritually here. That there are people here, I hope not. They want to work and enjoy the atmosphere that gets created here when we worship, but they don't want to put any effort towards it. They can live anyhow the way they want the whole week, then come in here and expect to enjoy the atmosphere that other people are creating. Yes. Praying, waking up until your knees are sore, you know. Your knees can be sore, sore depending with what you have in your bedroom. We don't have a carpet, you know. And I had to pray, say, Lord, forgive me today. I'll put a pillow. Because I'm not getting any younger. But the people were not working at all. But they wanted to eat. And Paul says, I hear among you that there are people doing that. What was he doing? This wasn't a private letter to the pastor. This was being read in the congregation. And Paul was rebuking them openly. This was read in church on a Sunday morning. Say, I hear among you there are people that are refusing to work. And you know what? The previous day, Saturday, Brother Wilmore had refused to work. Said, I'm not going to work. But he wants to eat. Now the message has come. Working not at all, but are busy bodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in so well doing, and so forth. That's one example. I would like to read another one. Maybe we'll stop on that one. Romans 16:17. Which is almost the same as this one. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. That was an open rebuke, because this was read to the church of the Romans, and there were people in the church that were causing divisions and offenses, that were coming and preaching things that were contrary to what Paul preached. And Paul is saying, mark them. This was an open rebuke, and avoid them. Yeah, Brother Branham preached what Paul preached. You know, Brother Branham was exactly what Paul preached. And he says, avoid them. And you can find an example of this when you go to Acts chapter 15, verse 1, that there came brethren that were teaching things contrary to what Paul was preaching. And Paul tried to reason with the brothers, but they wouldn't change at all. They continued on to teach the same thing, and you can find them, the very first scripture which we read when we started this 4 weeks ago, in the book of 1 Titus 1 verse 10, if you could put that for me, sister. Titus 1 verse 10, and he says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped. Imagine the pastor standing up here and say, this brother who was teaching Sunday school last week, his mouth must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Now let's go to the next one. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. So you see, when we don't do this, we are actually robbing people of something. Because sometimes people, maybe it's just because they don't know. And they need this open rebuke, a sharp rebuke, so that they may be sound in the faith, because we are dealing with human souls here. You know, we are not playing crash here. People can be subverted by false teaching. And I'm glad that we don't have that here. But it's needed in the church. I mean, if you look at the condition of the message today around the world, you can see that it's because of the lack of these things. These things were not done, and now look what we have. Wolves among the sheep. Preaching for filthy lucre's sake, just to make money out of people. Amen. Could you have the next one, sister? Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. That's what's happening now, isn't it? Yeah. That turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobates. That was some serious message that Paul was pulling there. You can see this wasn't just something that Paul mentioned to Titus or to Timothy. It's something he did in his ministry. Everywhere he went, when he found things like this, he speaks with the brothers. Remember, and he says, I disputed Peter, even Peter himself, the man who had the keys, you know, given by Jesus Christ. And he disputed with him. And it was no small dissension. It was a big thing among the saints then. But for the sake of truth, some of these things are required. Maybe the last one, we have a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. That's the last example I have, but there are some which you can read later if you want. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. I mean, this was a common thing among believers. I mean, how can that word and believers be mentioned in one sentence? You know? And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. Even Gentiles were not doing things like this. That one should have his father's wife. My goodness. And it was a thing reported commonly among the believers. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. So the believers were just, it's let the brother come, you know. And they were not mourning for this thing because it can affect the whole congregation. You remember when Joshua and them and the brother and the men went and took something and put under the tent a gold wedge and some garment. It had repercussions for the people. Yeah? So, for I verily, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have judged already. As though I were present concerning him that has done this deed. So Paul wasn't there. The brother who did this was in the church sitting there when this letter was written and it was read on that Sunday morning. Everybody knew who it was because it was commonly reported. So Paul was openly rebuking the whole church and this brother too. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan. Open rebuke. For the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Brother Branham, when he went beyond the curtain of time, he said, I preached what Paul preached. The believers that were there, they all answered and said, we are resting on that. This is the messages that Paul preached. You can see it's not just one example. But time failed me to find more. And the believers, they said, we are resting on that. they were really resting on what Brother Branham preached, and Brother Branham was saying, I preached what Paul preached. So if a believer can say, I'm resting on that, it means that whatever Brother Branham was preaching, they lived their life according to that message. And they are resting on that. And that's the question I would like to leave the saints with today. That if we read that quote and say, where Brother Branham says, I preached what Paul preached, given the things that we have just read this morning, because some of these things, it's because one sister tolerates another sister. And the thing continues to flourish in the church, no matter how much the pastor preaches about it here, you know. Just because our sister so-and-so understands me. I see brother so-and-so do such a thing, so I'll do it, you know. There must be special reason why he's allowed to do that. No matter how much Brother Eli can wave the Bible in front of you and say, look at the scripture, simply because brother so-and-so is doing it. So for the believers to say we are resting on that, it's because they are living, they lived their life according to exactly what Brother Branham preached. And this is what Paul preached. This is what Brother Branham preached. Can we in earnest this morning say, I am resting on that? When Paul has said, I charge you to do this. I charge you before the Lord and the elect angels and Jesus Christ, I charge you to do these things. And he didn't do it once. In another verse in 1 Titus, this man called Hymenaeus and Alexander, Paul said, I committed them to the devil. These were not some fornicators that were trying to ravish the girls in the church or what. They were ministers. And they came and preached in the church and said, we are already in the millennium, you know. And Paul tried to reason with them. They wouldn't understand. They wouldn't accept. They continued among the saints, subverting all houses. Yeah? And then Paul had to commit them to the devil for the destruction of their flesh so that the spirit may be saved. So Paul says, I charge you. And I would also like to charge you this morning in your fear of influence, in my fear of influence, let us not tolerate error, saints. When things are said wrong, stand up for the truth. You will never be ashamed. If somebody mentions something that's wrong, they're doing something, you correct them like a brother in a nice, quiet way. But if they continue on like that, don't harbor when people begin to do wrong things. Because your children are watching, and you pay the price later on. We have seen a lot in our short lives. So may God bless you. I am sure that next week we will have a different topic from one of the brothers. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for your grace and your mercies that help us in these things. We see how the enemy is coming in like a flood, destroying left, right, and center, Lord. Up to the point even the pastor has to bring the topics of dressing again and conduct among the believers, because the enemy is coming in and is determined to destroy. But we are thankful for your word this morning, Lord, that has charged us to do these things, that when we see things like this, to stand up for the truth, Lord. Father, if there is something in us, Lord, that holds us back from telling people the truth when they are in error, may you forgive us this morning. Help us, Father, that, Lord, we may have enough, Lord, grace in us, Father, to love the person who's in error, to correct them, Lord, and show them the way, Father. Let it be so, Father, that when the prophet would say, I preached like Paul preached, Father, may we all answer without any hypocrisy that we are resting on that, Lord. For indeed, that's what we are resting on. We commit the remainder of this service into your hands. Bless the song worship. We commit it into your hands. Lord, we want to pray for our brother who's come a long way and is going to minister to us this morning. Father, use him mightily, Lord. Bring a word in season for thy children to build us and bring us to a higher place. We love you, we thank you, and we honor you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.